Before we begin our study, let's pray. Together, I'll call out in Hebrew, and then you repeat after me. Baruch atah Adonai. Eloheinu melech haolam. Asher kidshanu. B'mitzvotav. Vetzivanu. La'asok. B'divrei Torah. Blessed are you. Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with your commandments and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. Well, tonight we welcome Shavuot. Shavuot is celebrating the giving of Torah during the joining of Israel at Sinai to a covenant with God. And it also celebrates the giving of the Holy Spirit during the renewal of that covenant in Jerusalem. There's a Greek way of saying Shavuot. Do you know what that is? Pentecost. A lot of people who celebrate Pentecost would not know that was Shavuot. But it's important for us to know that those are two ways of naming the same holiday, though on the Jewish calendar, it's got its own precise timing based on what the scripture says versus on the Christian calendar, which is set by other records. Well, Shavuot is a good time to focus on renewal and refreshment, and I want to encourage you to take time for your own renewal and refreshment. It is great for us to gather together in the house of God and in the presence of the Lord. It's actually important for us. We need this. We need to be here together. We need to be joined together. It should be part of our spiritual discipline and part of our spiritual routine as well. But there's another aspect that is just as important, and that is to take time alone to be with the Lord. To be with God yourself without distraction. And to take enough time so that you can really open up to him. Now, we live in such busy times and such high-speed times that people are bombarded with media, with messages, with attention-getting aspects of our life. And, you know, even when you want to get alone with God, it can be difficult. Because sometimes when it's just you and the Lord, it's you, the Lord, and every TV show you watched last night. It's you and the Lord and every advertisement that you saw, every billboard, the song you can't get out of your head from the radio. It's you and the Lord. It's all the thoughts you've got going on in your mind because of what's happening at work or in your family and so forth. And so it's actually a challenge because many times when we want to be alone with the Lord, we can't get away from our own thoughts. Isn't that true? And sometimes it's difficult to get to that place where we can put everything else aside and not be distracted. I want to encourage you on Shavuot, on this double holiday weekend, to take some time. I say double holiday because it's not only Shavuot, but conveniently it is Memorial Day weekend as well. And so you have, almost all of you have some extra time off. Who has some extra time off this week? Okay, good for you. Who has to work on Memorial Day? Okay, let's all aw for them. Aw. Okay, thank you. You're welcome. You're welcome. That's compassion. It's not a lot of compassion, but at least it's sincere. It is sincere. For those of you who got to say aw to the others, you've got a few days. You've got tonight, Sunday, Monday, and you could waste it, or you could use it just for leisure, all the things that you've got planned, good things that you could be doing as well. But I want to encourage you, take some time every day from now until Monday night, some time where it's just you and the Lord. Go for a walk, drive in your car all by yourself without the radio on. Go to a deserted beach or to a park where no one is. Go somewhere. Go into a closet if you have to. whatever it takes, go into that secret place where no one else is. And take some time to be with the Lord. And I say take time each day because it may take several times in a row before you actually get to the place where you can open up, you can speak clearly what you want to say, and you can listen with your heart, with an open heart, to the Lord. It takes enough time to be able to really do this. We've been focusing on renewing our minds and refreshing our spirits as part of living for God. And praying in secret is one of those most important parts where we are telling the Lord the secrets that are in our hearts. And we are in secret, meaning we're hidden away from other people. And when we talk about telling the Lord our secrets, I'm not only talking about your dark secrets. Do you understand that? Some of you don't want to do this because all you've got in your mind are dark secrets. It's like, I don't want to ruin my weekend by going to some dark secret conversation with the Lord. Well, there's more to life and more to our secrets than our dark secrets. There are also our secret hopes and our dreams. And it's important for us to bring those to the Lord, to receive those from God, to receive hopes and dreams from the Lord, desires from the Lord, and then to talk to Him about those very important things that are hidden in our hearts. Well, I want to invite Michelle Allen to come up and to join me. He's going to share some things with you. Michelle and I pray together regularly on Monday mornings. And recently when we were praying, he shared with me five questions that he was asking. A couple weeks ago, I spoke to you all about the need to renew our minds, and I referred to Romans 12:2. Let me read it to you. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Well, Michelle went further than that, and I want him to share with you about Romans 12:1 and some questions that came up to him that I think were really important, some ways of thinking. And Romans 12:1 says to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. He'll tell you more. But sometimes when people read that, they think it's about martyrdom, which means dying for God, and it's actually about how to live for God. And Michelle, you looked at this in a very different way about how to live for God rather than die for Him. So I want you to take a few moments and share with the people the questions that you started asking and the things that were on your heart. So please step up. Give a warm welcome to Michelle Allen.
Shabbat shalom. You know when you're going to on your regular route to work and there's that sign that says, progress, road construction, progress, what does it say? Progress in route. And you say to yourself, oh no, how long is this going to take? You know what I mean? And when you think about it, that roadblock is me. You know what I mean? That we are our own biggest roadblock in a lot of ways to get down the road. And Rabbi asked me to come up here and share, but by no means am I an authority or any expert in the process that we're going to talk about here. What I'd like to do is have everyone just say it together. Romans 12, if you could turn to that scripture. And the first verse. Let's say it together. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren. Oh, are you? Are we there? Are we there? Okay. 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 I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. You know, when you read that, it sounds pretty lofty, doesn't it? I mean, it's always sounded very lofty to me. And how do we take that loftiness and bring it down into our everyday lives? And, you know, when I was with the rabbi, it just hit me. It's very simple. You know, spiritual worship, it's up there. Our bodies are right here. So what do we have to sacrifice? What do we have to present as our spiritual worship? It's our bodies. So what the Lord just showed me is, what do we do with our bodies? What are our bodies? What are our bodies? It's this, okay? It's our physical presence. It's our eyes. It's our ears. It's our mouth. Our hands. So that's a lot of things right there. And one thing, let's just start off with, where's the body? Where's our body today? Well, thank God you can say my body is at the temple on Shabbat. Good for you. And good for me. But that's just one thing. Where is your body today? Where was it last night? Well, 1 out of 2 days, it's not bad. Okay? But a lot of people are not even telling their body, saying, you're going to get up, you're going to get the kids dressed. Like my brother, whoever shared that today with the kids fighting, let me tell you, I could relate to that. Okay? Work through that, get the kids dressed, go through the fight, get in the car or the truck and get here, you know. That's our body. You're taking your body and you're moving it, you know. You're presenting your body as spiritual worship, okay. And, you know, what's nice about Shabbat, I just feel to say this, is that it helps you reorientate yourself to the Lord, you know. If you ever use the Apple, that app program, and you're the digerati, that you have the Google app where, you know, you plug in and it helps you go, you know, let's say I went to Crystal River last week, and you're going along, and you can see yourself going along on the route. But it's not driving your car, so if you're not paying attention, all of a sudden, you know, you're veering off, and we veered off, and we're enjoying it, and I'm all of a sudden, you know, I'm looking at a lake, and I look back at the app, and I say, hey, this lake is not on the route. We're off route. You know, we got to get back on route. And, you know, that's what Shabbat does. It helps you reorientate yourself, you know. If you're, you know, it's easy. Sometimes we're just having a good time and we forget about the Lord. Other times we're not in peace. We don't have peace. And coming to Shabbat reorientates ourselves to the Lord. Well, what's our body? Our body is our mouth. Our mouth gets us in trouble a lot, doesn't it?
Yes.
Unfortunately. You know, but here's a question. What do we say? What do we say with our mouth, okay? You answer that. What do you say? Well, it says in the word that blessing and cursing flow out of your mouth, out of the same mouth. How can that be? In James, it says it. I can tell you, I had some wins this week, and I had some losses this week. You know, I'm a work in progress, right? You're a work in progress. So the thing is, you know, let's think about what we're using our mouth for. Okay, what's the next thing? We look with our eyes. What do we look at? What are we looking at every day? What images? Well, I can tell you. You know, what are you putting in? This is a very big thing in our day and time. Why? Because we have so much media bombarding us. I mean, me, I've refused to just dive into Facebook, Twitter. What's the next one? LinkedIn. I just heard about that one. I've refused because, you know, for me, time is precious. You know, I own a business. So much is demanding on my time. You know, I've let my sales guys get into Facebook. They got time for that. The point is, what's occupying your eyes, you know, all day long? You know, What images? Internet time, you know. It's so overwhelming. I mean, we even are live in here, you know. But the point is this, you know, Rabbi opened, you know, we have Wi-Fi in here, but the point of the Wi-Fi is to direct your heart and your eyes to the Lord. Not to, you know, I hope you're not Googling, you know, what's happening in Las Vegas next week, you know. Dear God, please don't, you know. Don't waste your time like that in here, you know. We're bombarded. We got to make choices. We got to make choices. What are we seeing? What do we put in front of our eyes, you know? The word of the Lord. How can we redirect our eyes and redirect that GPS, redirect ourselves to the Lord? Okay, our ears is a part of our body. What are we listening to, right? What are we listening to? It's really connected to the eyes in a lot of ways, you know, because a lot of times we're watching TV or we're speaking with somebody, or they're interactive, is what I'm saying. And faith comes by
hearing.
And hearing by the
word.
Correct. And no faith comes by not hearing. And hearing not the word of God. Right? And that's why, you know, it's good to sometimes, when you're having that few minutes in the morning, evening with the Lord, is to actually say the scriptures. Listen, so you hear yourself. You can hear yourself saying the word of God, and it's getting into your ear. It's getting into your eyes, getting into your ears at the same time. All right. What do with our legs? We walk. Where do we go? What destinations are we going to? You know, we don't use our legs too much. What do we use? We use our vehicles, trucks and cars. And, you know, it's amazing how much amount of time we spend driving, you know. So sometimes, you know, instead of going out and running out there to get your chocolate bar in the middle of the night, that's what I'm tempted with, obviously. Because my wife doesn't buy any for me. It's for my good. I know. It's okay. But taking that time and going and getting your car for that one, for the newspaper, this and that, it's time, you know. Let's use our body, you know, position our body for the Lord. You know, our time is precious. And in our writing, you know, what are we demonstrating with our... Well, sometimes, you know, you see people demonstrating. You're driving in the car and you see people demonstrating, you know, with their hands. And it's not always nice, you know. I hope you're not one of those guys because, you know, it gets back to the blessing and the cursing goes along with that one. You know what I mean? So maybe next time you're tempted to curse, maybe you should bless, you know. Put the blessing hand out there. I'm talking to myself. You know, and I think most of all, what is our mind and our heart pondering? You know, nobody knows that but you. What is our heart pondering, you know, in the meditating on our bed, you know, in our quiet moments? You need to redirect sometimes. Like Rabbi was saying, you're just constant, the anxiety, when anxiety is bombarding you, redirect and say, no, I'm not listening to that. I'm going to reorientate myself to the Lord. So all these domains, what are we doing with all these domains? This is a weekly thing. You could just write these things down and encourage yourself. Am I sanctifying all these domains to the Lord? Okay, I think that's it.
That's great.
Yeah. Thank you. Michelle.
Thank you.
Sometimes it's just really important to read a scripture, even one verse, so slowly that you actually pay attention to what it's saying, so that you can think about what it could mean to you. And I really enjoyed being with Michelle the other morning when he was just sharing the questions like, what do we do with our mouths? What do we do with our ears? What do we do with our eyes, with our hands, with our feet? These are really good questions. And you can use such a question to draw close to the Lord, because you can take some time to examine yourself and find out what part of your body do you really want to focus on dedicating to the Lord now that you want to improve upon, if you will. So, Michelle, thank you for keeping it really practical. I want to shift just a little bit to Shavuot, which begins tonight, and I think this holiday is so important because it reminds us of God's continuing faithfulness to the Jewish people. The covenant that God made at Sinai and the covenant which he renewed through Yeshua is a covenant of grace, a covenant of favor. The Hebrew word chen means grace and also means favor. And in Hebrew, one word means both of those things. Say chen, chen. Yeah, grace, favor. And Shavuot reminds us that God is still faithful to Israel and to everyone who will join with Israel in the renewed covenant through the Messiah. We are in a season where the legitimacy of Israel as a nation is being challenged, and you and I need to be able to stand up for Israel and to stand up with Israel. There are many who want to delegitimize Israel. And I want you, during this Shavuot weekend and in the days to come, to remember some really foundational truth. Number one, after Yeshua died, he rose from the dead. And where did he appear? In Jerusalem. And then he moved about into different parts of Israel. He didn't show up in Jacksonville. The timing wasn't right. He didn't show up in Rome. He didn't show up in France. He didn't show up in Spain, in Moscow, in St. Petersburg. He showed up in one city, Jerusalem. And then he moved about. So when he rose, he returned to the Jewish people. That is so important to understand. And he began to teach about his kingdom. When Yeshua rose from the dead, he wasn't ticked off at all the Jewish people. He came back in order to show something about what he had accomplished. He had in his heart the redemption of Israel. Right before Yeshua returned to heaven, he instructed his disciples to stay together where? In Jerusalem. And to stay in unity and to keep faithfulness with each other and with him. And that is not easy. Do you know just trying to reach agreement between two people is difficult? How many of you can verify that? We have a saying among the Jewish people, where there are two Jews, there are three opinions. So that means that we are each allotted at least 1.5 opinions. Sometimes more. So it's even difficult for one person to have unity with himself or herself and to think the same way and with unity and consistency. It's hard to stay in unity, to keep faithfulness. But Yeshua's disciples did that. And Yeshua told them that they needed the promised Holy Spirit in order to fulfill the mandate that God had given them. It was a mandate to bring good news to different locales. What was the first locale that they were told to bring good news to? Jerusalem. What was the second locale? Do you know? Judea and Samaria. Judea and Samaria, aka the West Bank, aka the territories. And then the third locale is a big one. It was the rest of the world, the uttermost parts of the world. So this mandate speaks of something. God still has good news to bring to the Jewish people. His whole rationale for pouring the Holy Spirit out upon his disciples was that so they could bring good news to those in need, starting in Jerusalem, going to Judea and Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the world. And because he was working that way, it was a demonstration that he is keeping faith with Israel. It's important at Shavuot to understand that. And you and I need to be prepared to speak up on behalf of Israel. Today, in these days, there is a developing movement among some evangelicals to delegitimize Israel. We need to be aware of it, and we need to be prepared to stand against such efforts. Recently, the governing body of the Methodists gathered together because they were considering a proposal to boycott companies that do business with Israel in the territories in Judea and Samaria. And it was given serious consideration. I'm glad to say it was voted down. I'm glad for that. However, that vote is not the end of the question for that group, because they will keep considering that idea and other ideas, which are really founded on the notion Israel's not legitimate. And it's important to know. It's important to be aware of what's going on. It's important to educate yourself. There are also continuing efforts among Israel's political enemies to delegitimize Israel, presenting Israel as the oppressor and the villain. On college campuses all over America, this move is happening in very strong ways. You can go to campuses where Israel is always represented as the bully Goliath. And Hamas, even a terrorist group, is represented as the good-natured, gentle David who's just trying to defend themselves against the ugly Goliath. We need to be aware of this. We need to be able to understand how to take a position. I've posted on my website, davidlevinenow.com, a section called Stand with Israel. And right now, there are two things on it I want to ask you to look at. One, not right this minute. Well, I guess you can if you have to. One of them is an article from a group that is speaking to the question, do the Jews have a right to a state in the Holy Land? And it's a good one-page article, very important, that was written by a group called Flame, and I think you'll find it useful and helpful as well to you in communicating with other people. And the other piece is a simple graphic. It's a Star of David with the words above it, Stand with Israel. I encourage you to download that and then send it to your friends saying, I'm standing with Israel. Put it on your Facebook. Say, I'm standing with Israel. Ask your friends to share it. And keep spreading this so that we are emboldened who believe that Israel has a right to exist and a right to the land. The Haftorah this week speaks of God's unlimited love for Israel. If you have your Bibles, would you show me? If you got a paper Bible, let's see all the old school Bibles. Old school, good. Okay, if you got a digital Bible, can you wave it? Yeah, like we can have like a little concert thing going on here. How many? Let's just keep all those digital things up for a minute. You see how it's growing? Isn't it interesting? The digital age has arrived. Turn to Hosea chapter 2, verse 1. It says, in that day by Yom HaHu, you will call your brothers Ami. Say Ami. It means my people. So you'll identify your brothers and you'll say, you're my people. And you call your sisters Ruhama. Say Ruhama. The ones I love. You see, this helps us understand just God's tenderness towards his people Israel and how he wants us to see one another. And it's interesting that he underlines this because Hosea has sort of a lot of mixed emotion in it. There's a lot of rebuke to Israel for infidelity. But there is continuing demonstration of God's fidelity to Israel and of his intentions. Hosea chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. God says to Israel, I will betroth you to me forever, For how long?
Forever.
Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice and loving kindness and mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you will know the Lord. You will know the Lord. You see, that is a promise of the new covenant. And the new covenant, the renewed covenant, there are some changes. At Sinai, the covenant was expressed on tablets of stone and in written form that were external to the people. In the new covenant, as described in Jeremiah 31, the word of God is engraved on our hearts and on our minds. It becomes internal to us and not just an external set of rules and regulations. It becomes a source of life as we have a revelation of what's on God's heart, because it's actually been written on our hearts too. Verse 20 says, you shall know the Lord. And this is not describing having information. It's not that you will have information about the Lord. The word in Hebrew for know is not just limited to that kind of knowledge, but it also describes relational intimacy. When used between a husband and wife, it describes physical intimacy and sexuality between a man and a woman. When used in the spiritual relationship, us with the Lord, it describes deep emotional and soulful and spiritual intimacy and relationship. And God is saying, you will know the Lord. So this helps us see that despite Israel's struggles with fidelity, God himself remains faithful. And because of that, everyone can see that God's mercy and his grace are the very foundation of his covenants and his salvation. He says, my people, that means you belong to me. That's how the Lord wants us to see the Jewish people, to see that the Jewish people belong to God. When he says, the ones I love, it's so that we understand that God takes a personal interest in having intimate relationship with us. God uses the picture of marriage, and he's committed to marriage for how long?
Forever.
That's right. With righteousness and justice, loving kindness and mercy. Well, on that note, let me share something with you. Who knows what chai means in Hebrew? Chai.
Life,
that's right. I asked some young Russian believers this once in Zhytomyr. I said, what does chai mean? And they said, hello? Chai, how are you? I love that experience. Chai means life. But in Hebrew, you also write numbers with letters, so chai also is a number. Do you know what the number is? It's 18. And for this reason, 18 takes on special significance for the Jewish people, because when you're reading it, you can read 18 or you can read life every time. So it's the custom of many Jewish people when they're making contributions or they're doing certain things that they do it in multiples of 18, giving a gift of $18 or giving a donation of $180 or $18,000. Things like this are done because in the writing, it's not just 18, it's life, and it's saying this is for life. It's honoring life. Well, on Wednesday, Sandy and I celebrated our double chai anniversary. So 36 years. Thank you. 36 years together. And Sandy said, you know, we've had so many experiences and God's given us so many opportunities, it already feels like we've had two lifetimes. Now, as we're entering our next chai, we're really excited, our next 18 years. And I'm really grateful for my wife, and she is an amazing woman. And she's not just amazing because she can put up with me. That would be amazing enough. If that all, was all that she was accomplishing in life, it would be one thing. But actually, she's much more than that. You know, between my flaws and my problems and my quirks and the challenges of ministry, life with me is not easy. I can tell you that. My family can tell you that. I'm a nice person, but life isn't easy. Some of you live lives that aren't easy too, and your spouse can tell you, life with you is not easy. But none of us signed up for easy. We signed up forever for love. And so, you know, you can read Hosea and understand God's attitude. He's saying to Israel, life with you is not easy. And Israel's saying to God, and life with you isn't easy. You take us through wildernesses. You give us manna to eat for 40 years. We're tired of some things. Well, I've got my flaws, my quirks. But what I love about my wife is not that she puts up with that. That's not it. It's that she's got a keen mind, and she has a profound spiritual curiosity and a well-developed intellect. And she's been my most trusted confidant and advisor, and she sees the big picture with clarity, and at the same time, she can see small details very sharply. I love that about her. And I'm so thankful that I have a wife like this who is truly a gift from the Lord, my beloved woman of God. So I'm having a triple chai coming up. I told Sandy, you know, it sounds almost like we're about to do ice skating. And then he lifted her up on a triple chai. Degree of difficulty, 10. So, as you're celebrating Shavuot, take some time. Take some time to talk to the Lord about what you're happy about, what you're happy with. The good things in your life are not always the easy things in your life. The most precious things in your life are not always simple things. Life is complicated, and we all have complications, but sometimes when we go through challenges in life, we stop looking at the good things. It's very important for us to use the Shavuot to refresh ourselves, renew our thinking, renew our speaking, what words we allow out of our mouth, renew our watching. What do we pay attention to? What do we allow ourselves to see? Renew our hearing. What are we listening to? Who are we listening to? Are we listening to good reports or bad reports? Are we focused only on negativity, or are we seeing the hopes and the possibilities of the future? I want to encourage you to do this because I believe if you do, you will get renewed. If you do this, you will get refreshed. If you do this, you will be prepared to move forward with God during this next season with gladness and boldness. And if you don't, you'll be tired. And you will be exhausted, and there will be no remedy for your situation. Take time to get renewed and refreshed. Take time to receive a new infilling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was poured out, yes, once in Jerusalem, but not only once in Jerusalem, poured out again and again. And we are taught, be refilled with the Holy Spirit. Be refilled. Take another drink. Get full again. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. Thank you for your faithfulness to Am Yisrael, to the people Israel. We know, Lord, because of your faithfulness to Israel as a nation, as a people, that you're faithful to us as individuals. You're faithful to us as a community. You're faithful to our families. We see your faithfulness, your unending love. And Lord, we want to be renewed and refreshed in you. We come to you and we ask for a new outpouring of your Holy Spirit into our lives. We ask for your cleansing, that you would cleanse our minds and cleanse our hearts. We want to come before you with honesty, with sincerity, to receive all the benefits that you have for us in Messiah. Thank you for resurrection life. Thank you for new life and abundant life. We bless you in Yeshua's name. Amen. Let's close with Aaron's blessing. Would you please rise? Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha yisa Adonai Panavelecha vayasemlecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace. In the name of the Prince of Peace, Sar Shalom, Yeshua our Messiah. Amen.